here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. Our next guest in the studio is Whitney Monaghan, yep. Who is lecturer at Monash University, yes. but you're here to talk about the Women in Film Festival, which is on in, well, later, well, it's actually in a couple of days' time.
It is, it's on Thursday.
Oh, there we go. It's starting off then.
Yeah.
Now, tell us now, what we normally like to do, Whitney, when we start off is have a little bit of a chat about your background and I suppose how you got to where you are now, mm-hmm. especially with the arts, in your case, film. So where did the love of film and when did it all start for you, Bess?
Oh, good question. Well, I have a background in film studies and I think I've always just loved cinema and television. And I think probably for the better part of the last 9 years, I've been researching queer film and television, like queer representation on film and TV,
yep.
Which has been a blast. And yeah, I think film is such an important avenue for representation and television as well, I should say. Yeah, and I got involved in the Melbourne Women in Film Festival sort of last year,
okay.
One of the coordinators of the festival. And I think it's a really important avenue for getting emerging filmmakers, their films screened to an audience.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But you actually lecture in film at Monash. How is it? You know, like, is there light at the end of the tunnel for the students? You know, is there work for them? Because we always look at filmmakers that it's a struggle, isn't it?
Totally. It's a very tough industry to get into. And part of the reason why we started this film festival is because there's a small group of women who run the festival and we all teach in various universities in Melbourne. And one of the things that we noticed was our young women students were kind of hanging back from being involved in the filmmaking process.
Why was that?
I don't know. So we go into a class and all the guys just pick up the cameras and they automatically kind of get in and sort of into the technical stuff, and the girls are just sort of hang back and think, oh, maybe I'll be the producer of the film or something like that. So one of the reasons we actually thought about creating this festival and why it's really important is to let young women who are making film and at the start of their careers and the ones in our classes know that they can do these things.
Yeah, and it must be a really important point that this year at the Academy Awards there is a woman that's been nominated for an Academy Award for director.
Yeah.
For Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. And first time for a hell of a long time that a woman's been in that category.
Completely. And also an important one is the Cinematographer Award, which is a woman for the first time. Okay. In the history of the awards.
Yeah. So let's stick with your background, mm-hmm. that you said that you've been looking at queer film, mm-hmm. Queer
representation.
In film and television. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this earlier because we had Spiro from Melbourne Queer Film Festival on, and that the fact is that queer film is starting to go a bit mainstream, and even some of our listeners SMS'd in saying that their friends now are a lot more open to going to see a queer film these days. What's your research told you?
Well, my research has looked at the fact that we seem to be in an era where there's more representation of queer people in film and television than there ever has before. And you're right, it is totally going mainstream. Part of what I look at is whether that's inherently a good thing, because if we just have heaps and heaps of representations of exactly the same thing, maybe that's
the
stereotypes, yep. The sort of standard coming out narratives or something like that might perpetuate some ideas about what it is to be a queer person that aren't entirely true or that are quite limited in, like, queer people are very diverse. We don't want to kind of... We're not all the same.
Absolutely.
We were talking about that earlier, weren't we? Because, I mean, like Spiro was saying earlier, you want maybe a different view of the coming out story. Yes, don't necessarily avoid it, but give us something new about it or from a new perspective.
Yeah, present it in a new angle. Way. Yeah,
exactly. Sorry, I just want to ask you also, now that I suppose things like the YouTube, the internet and everything else has taken off so much, how does that affect filmmakers and such? Because, I mean, does that provide another avenue to sort of have a piece shown to people, or is there now just so much there that it's just, you know, gets lost in the masses, so to speak?
It's sort of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the one hand, it's much easier to create content now, to create films, to create web series, to represent yourself in sort of screen forms. So you could bypass all of the kind of traditional gatekeepers and do your own sort of self-representations now. But at the same time, if everyone's doing that, how do you get an audience? How do you get people to watch?
Yeah, how do you stand out, and how do you get the right people to see it as well?
How do you find your community?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And you're like, and it is becoming so easy to, as you said, and harder to break the line. But then I just read the other day that there's Tropfest is happening now in Sydney, and so many people from Melbourne enter that. I'm sure some of your students has down the line. But there's this lad that is 16, and his third time that he's been part of the short film for Tropfest.
That's incredible. I just can't believe someone could be that creative at age 16. That's so great. And for that kid to be able to have his work seen by so many people already.
And not just creative, but so driven as well. Like, you know, to sort of at 16 to go for a third time, you know.
It just wasn't doing anything like that when I was 16.
Well, no, yeah, like, or is he just a bloody little smart ass that's overachieving. But, you know, like, and he's part of the main festival this year because of it, which is amazing. What are you finding then with this research? And the drums have started with Chinese New Year again, people. That's what you can hear in the background. It's not your radio. Are we being represented in a better light, do you think, than we were, say, 10 years ago?
I mostly think so. I think the fact that there are more representations of queer people is a good thing. But what I've found is actually a lot of times, and my research looks at how queer girls are represented, a lot of times queerness is represented as a kind of passing phase, something that girls have will go into when they're in adolescence, and then they kind of grow up and become straight women, which was really confronting to find that that was sort of the dominant way that queer people or queer women were represented in film and television. But there's obviously some really great examples that don't do that, and those are the ones that I want to promote.
Yeah. And how hard is it to get out there and yell out and sort of push that barrow? Yell out, are you breaking down those barriers?
What do you mean?
Well, yeah, like, are you finding females that want to do it now?
Yes, totally. So what if we have been programming some great queer women in our film festival, and in our short films there's a lot that kind of play with that idea of coming out, and that could be a phase, but actually do something interesting and kind of go against that.
Give us an example of some of the films that are you doing, or the short films that you're doing.
Yeah, so we've got some great short films. We have two sessions of shorts, and one of the key ones that I think is really exciting is this documentary about the gay pride movement in the 1970s in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Which is when we think of pride in gay liberation. Sorry, when we think of gay liberation in the 70s in Australia, I firstly think of Sydney, right?
Mm.
So it's really interesting to see what was happening in Melbourne at that time, and the people who were involved with that were sort of reflecting now back on that moment. So that one's one that I'm particularly excited about.
It was happening everywhere, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At the same time, but because of Mardi Gras, it's focused very heavily on, Sydney. But have you worked at all with Gay and Lesbian Archives?
I haven't, no. That's somewhere where I'd love to do some work. But no, I haven't worked there.
Because, you know, like they've got some amazing footage and stories as well that focus on that era. And there are some amazing stories of, you know, like, the gay and lesbian bars in the day. They weren't legal, but there was bars all over town where, you know, like that's where you would go if you know. And then when the pubs would close, then everyone would go off to somebody's place for a party, and you know, like, and it was all the you know, like the art world as well that was involved in it. So, you know, like there is so many, but you've got to talk to those people, don't you?
Yeah, totally. And you don't often see those sorts of historical moments on film, which I think is really exciting about this particular documentary that we're screening.
Yeah, fantastic. And give us another example.
I don't want to give too much away. People should come to the festival and see the films themselves.
Right, but people need to sort of know what they're going to come and see. Mm-hmm. Is there a website or a social media page?
Yeah, so we've got a website. It's mwff.org.au, and on there we have all of our program for the 4 days of the festival, including info on all of the short films that we have in our two short sessions, and we also have a student short session. And at the end of the festival, we're going to be awarding the best short film and the best student short film on our closing night awards.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said there's four of you who teach in film that's pulled this together. How did you come across them, or is it just that, you know, like after being involved in it for years that you've just met them?
Well, actually, we all did our PhDs together.
Oh, together, okay.
Yeah, and then we all went off and did our own things for a little while, and then came back together a couple of years ago and started talking about women in film in Australia. And the rest is history, I guess.
Right, because Australia's had a bit of a good run with like some female directors, I can't think of one of them now.
Julian Armstrong. I'm not sure that she's New Zealander or Australian.
Well, yeah, but does a lot.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, does a lot of stuff here, yeah. You know, between New Zealand and Australia. So there are a couple of them that have been around for a long time. So they are there, but not enough, is there?
Yeah, not enough. So the latest sort of research on sort of gender equity in Australian film shows that women make up less than 30% of directors and editors and producers. And
yep. So how hard is it for you, sort of lecturing, that you can't favour the girls too much, but you want to actually help them? What do you do? How do you encourage them to step forward and be as outgoing and wanting to pick up the camera like the boys?
Yeah, I think it's about making sort of inclusive environments where girls feel like they can pick up all the stuff that the guys are doing and do it with confidence. And for me, I guess it's also about showing girls that they can do it. And through the film festival, what I want to do is celebrate the women who are working in film in Australia, so that people who are in our audience, who might be my students, could think, hey, this is made by a great director who's a woman, or the cinematographer here is a woman. I can do that too.
Yeah. And is there any of your students that are in this festival?
I don't know if any of my students are in the festival. I think in the short films, actually, yeah. Not the students that I'm teaching currently, but past students and students who I've worked with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that must be rewarding for you as well.
Yeah, it's really lovely to see their films. Those ones have to get picked by someone else because I don't want to give them too much of a preference. But, it's really great.
The film festival obviously is giving an opportunity for a lot of female filmmakers to be involved and to produce things. How's the rest of the industry taking that? I mean, like, is that opening up doors for anybody that's actually gone through the film festival with pieces, or has it helped anybody progress their career further or anything?
Well, we've only run for 2 years.
Okay,
so it's still early days. And last year we only had a 2-day festival, and this year we've expanded to a 4-day festival. So, hopefully.
Is that what one of your aims would be, to look at obviously broadening the, you know, the exposure, I suppose, to...
Yeah, completely. One of the struggles that we've sort of found that women face in the industry is not always making their first film, but making the second film.
Okay.
And so hopefully what we can do with the festival is provide opportunities for women to get distribution and exhibition of their films.
Are you working with Queer Film Festival, Melbourne Queer Film Festival, in with their short film program?
Their short film program's great. We're not working with them. We have a great relationship with them, but we program independently of them.
Right, okay. So, again, when's it on?
It's on this coming Thursday, the 22nd of Feb.
Yep.
Until Sunday, the 25th of Feb.
Right, and where's it playing?
Opening night is at ACME. Yep. We're also playing at Hoyts Melbourne Central and at RMIT.
Right,
and
fantastic.
How do you get a copy of the program? On the website?
Yeah, it's on the website, mwff.org.au.
Okay, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you know, like, it's great what you're doing, because it's a hard business.
It's tough, and we have to keep doing it, I think.
Yeah, good on you. Thank you, Whitney.
Thank you.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.